From NPR News in New York, this is the Bryant Park Project with Allison Stewart and Luke Burbank.
It is Friday, July 27th, 2007. Allison Stewart here from the Bryant Park Project. And you know, the war in Iraq, never far from the front page of your local or national newspaper, but the many moving parts can distract us from seeing the big picture quite often. So every Friday here on the BPP, we step back, we gather up a whole bunch of information in one place, and we present it to you, the week in Iraq. On the ground, Iraq Shiite areas were hit hard this week. One, a quiet area of Baghdad. Three parked car bombs killed 18. 60 miles to the south in Hilla, a suicide car bomber killed 26. And just last night, during rush hour in Baghdad, a car bomb exploded and took 25 people's lives and destroyed just dozens of stores. And in what should have been a bright spot, the Iraqi soccer team, a blend of Sunni, Shia, and Kurds, had just reached the final of the Asian Cup for the first time.
And the team, which many say is succeeding where the politicians are failing by uniting a country, is now just one win away from the ultimate prize. Iraq are off to Jakarta for their first Asian Cup final on Sunday.
So 50 fans were celebrating in the streets of the capital city when two separate car bombs went off, killing 50. On the diplomatic front, for only the second time in 27 years, the United States and Iran talked one-on-one this week. Or rather, they argued about the other's involvement in Iraq. The U.S. says Iran is providing weapons to aid militias and extremists. Iran wants five of its citizens detained in Iraq by U.S. forces released. Now, they did agree on one thing, to take part in a trilateral panel to stem the violence. Here's U.S. Ambassador to Iraq, Ryan Crocker.
We discussed ways forward, and one of the issues we discussed was the formation of a security subcommittee that would address at an expert or technical level some issues relating to security, be that support to violent militias, al-Qaeda, or border security.
On the military front, the U.S. said coalition forces detained 20 suspected terrorists while targeting al-Qaeda in northern Baghdad. And the New York Times reported a classified military document says U.S. troops will be in Iraq for at least the next 2 years, providing, quote, sustainable security, shifting that responsibility away from the Iraqis. Major General Benjamin Nixon, who is based in Tikrit, told CNN that sounds about right to him.
As I look at my area, I certainly can see that we will need some level of troop presence well into 2009. The numbers will depend on the situation.
On the other end of the ideological spectrum, troop withdrawal was on the minds of the Democrats running for president. They discussed exit strategy during the YouTube debate.
Governor Richardson?
I've been very clear. 6 months, but no residual forces. The diplomatic
work... Is that even possible, 6 months?
The diplomatic work cannot begin to heal Iraq, to protect our interests without our troops out. Our troops have become targets.
Senator Biden?
There's not a single military man in this audience who will tell this senator he can get those troops out in 6 months if the order goes today.
The best estimate is that we can probably move a brigade a month if we really accelerate it, maybe a brigade and a half or two a month. That is a lot of months.
Obviously, that was Senator Clinton there, while anti-war House member Representative John Murtha said he's going to push legislation to start troop withdrawal by November. Now, the House passed similar proposals in the past, including one that the president vetoed. It's a lot of information, so we want to talk to somebody who knows a lot more about all of it than I do. That would be Andrew Basevich, professor of international relations and history with Boston University. And may I call you Andrew?
Oh, yes, please.
Andrew, you heard the Democratic contenders there talking about troop withdrawal, Governor Richardson talking about potentially 6 months. Do you think that has any basis in reality?
No. I mean, the comments that were made by Senator Clinton and Senator Biden are probably closer to the mark. I mean, this withdrawal, as it happens, is going to be an enormously complex undertaking. Now, the more stuff you decide to bring home, the longer it takes. The more stuff you're willing to leave behind, then that can compress your schedule. But to say that we could be out in 6 months, to be out in 6 months, we just have to be basically running for the exits, and I don't think that that would be appropriate.
On the other end of the spectrum, we have that New York Times classified report and that Major General there saying, yeah, 2009 for sustainable security. Why did the shift come back to the coalition and U.S. forces rather than putting it on the Iraqis? We've heard so long the president saying we were waiting for them to stand up so we can stand down.
Well, it's a very interesting thing. It's not just Mixon, but General Odierno, General Lynch, I think even General Petraeus are pushing for an extension of the surge. And I think from their point of view, it's not a point of view I share, but from their point of view, it makes sense to ask for more time. The thing that the generals need to be pressed on is where the troops are going to come from to sustain their surge. In other words, even if they can make the case that it makes sense to continue to surge well into 08 or even into 09, how do they propose that the U.S. Army and the U.S. Marine Corps are going to be able to maintain the forces in country that they need? Because that, from an operational perspective, is really the crucial question.
Let's talk a little bit about Ambassador Crocker meeting with the Iranians. This was fascinating to me, the idea that they met and then confronted each other, his Iranian counterpart, about the Iranian support of Shiite and Sunni extremists with some very extreme weapons, shall we say. I can't imagine the Iranian diplomat would say, yeah, you're right, Ambassador Crocker.
Well, I think it's the most interesting story of the many that you reviewed in your opening remarks. I mean, to me, we have to put the meeting in the sort of the larger context of what this administration has said that it's about. Remember, Iran still, as far as we know, is part of the axis of evil, and yet it really shows the difficult situation in which we've managed to lodge ourselves and the lousy options that we confront, that we actually have to sit down with the so-called axis of evil and see if we can work out some kind of a deal. The Iranians hold the stronger hand here.
Sure.
They're the ones who really can be patient, allow the Americans to continue to pay, continue to suffer, allow the American political clock to continue to advance, and basically position themselves so that when the Americans leave, they, the Iranians, will be able to scoop up most of the marbles. So we're really in a difficult situation here. But it's I have to say I do think that talking to the Iranians is appropriate because if there's any chance of extricating ourselves from this disastrous war without having the entire region go up in flames, that chance is going to have to, we're going to have to find the way to do that by collaborating with others in the region, to include people we don't like.
And finally, I want to get your take on the violence on the ground. Obviously, it's the larger episodes that make headlines. And wondering about the targeting of Shiite areas. We know that's been going on for a long time. Should we read anything into this week particularly, or is this just tragic business as usual?
I'm always very wary of looking at any particular week or any particular incident and trying to draw larger conclusions from it. I mean, you ticked off a series of recent bombings. What I take from that is that there are a variety of insurgent groups that still retain the ability basically to strike when and where they want to. And in that sense, that says that the promise of the surge, that the surge would be able to really bring about the sort of security that could lead to a political reconciliation, that simply hasn't happened. And I'm a pessimist on the war, and I don't think it's going to happen. But to me, we should view most of these episodes as further evidence that our efforts to bring about order that can produce political reconciliation have not worked.
Andrew Bacevich is a professor of international relations and history at Boston University. Andrew, we really appreciate your time today. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'm Allison Stewart. You've been listening to the Bryant Park Project.
From NPR News in New York, this is the Bryant Park Project with Allison Stewart and Luke Burbank.
Hey, it's July 27th, 2007, on a Friday. It's Allison Stewart here for the Bryant Park Project. And as we all know, the war in Iraq is never far from the front page. But there are so many moving parts day to day, sometimes it can distract us from the bigger picture. So every Friday on the BBB, we take a step back, we gather up a whole bunch of information in one place, and we present it to you, The Week in Iraq. Shiite areas were hit hard this week, one in a quiet area, Baghdad, where three parked car bombs killed 18, and there's 60 miles to the south where a suicide car bomber killed 26, wounded 70, and damaged a hospital near a Shiite city of Hilla. Now, there was a third episode just last night during rush hour when a car bomb exploded and took 25 people's lives and destroyed dozens of stores. And in what should have been a bright spot, the Iraqi soccer team, a blend of Sunni, Shia, and Kurds, had just reached the final of the Asian Cup for the first time.
And the team, which many say is succeeding where the politicians are failing by uniting a country, is now just one win away from the ultimate prize. Iraq are off to Jakarta for their first Asian Cup final on Sunday.
So, of course, there was a huge celebration in the capital city. And then there were two separate car bombings during that celebration, killing 50. On the diplomatic front, for only the second time in 27 years, the U.S. and Iran talked one-on-one this week. Or rather, they argued about the other's involvement in Iraq. The U.S. says Iran is providing weapons to aid militias and extremists. Iran wants five of its citizens detained in Iraq by U.S. forces released. But both sides did agree to take part in a trilateral panel to stem the violence. Here's the U.S. ambassador to Iraq, I should say. He's Ryan Crocker.
We discussed ways forward, and one of the issues we discussed was the formation of a security subcommittee that would address at an expert or technical level some issues relating to security, be that support to violent militias, al-Qaeda, or border security.
Now, on the military front, the U.S. said coalition forces detained 20 suspected terrorists while targeting al-Qaeda in northern Baghdad. And the New York Times reported a classified military document says U.S. troops will be in Iraq for at least the next 2 years, providing, quote, sustainable security, shifting that responsibility away from the Iraqis. Major General Benjamin Mixon, who is based in Tikrit, told CNN that sounds right to him.
As I look at my area, I certainly can see that we will need some level of troop presence well into 2009. The numbers will depend on the situation.
On the other end of the ideological spectrum, troop withdrawal on the minds of the Democrats running for president. They discussed exit strategies during the YouTube debate.
Governor Richardson?
I've been very clear. 6 months, but no residual forces. The diplomatic work...
Is that even possible, 6 months?
The diplomatic work cannot begin to heal Iraq, to protect our interests, without our troops out. Our troops have become targets.
Senator Biden?
There's not a single military man in this audience who will tell this senator he can get those troops out in 6 months if the order goes today.
The best estimate is that we can probably move a brigade a month if we really accelerate it, maybe a brigade and a half or two a month. That is a lot of months.
Senator Clinton there, while anti-war House member Representative John Murtha said he will push legislation to start troop withdrawal by November. The House has passed similar proposals in the past, including one that the president vetoed. Well, that was the week in Iraq. Anthony Shadid has spent his fair share of time on the ground in Iraq. He's a foreign correspondent with The Washington Post, and he joins us now to help us understand a lot of what went down this week. Anthony, let's start with the Democratic presidential contenders. We heard that discussion about troop withdrawal. Do you think 6 months is any kind of timetable even feasible?
I mean, what my understanding is like Senator Clinton said, that it would probably take a brigade a month. And that you know, we're looking at 20 months if that's the case. This is going to be a protracted withdrawal, I think. You know what? I was struck, though, by Governor Richardson's comments, because I think he makes a good point. And I think that's kind of the flip side to all this debate going on about the withdrawal, and that is, what kind of political process is going to take place with the Americans there?
and what kind is going to take place when the Americans leave. And I think that's a very interesting point to make, because my own sense of just being on the ground and in my time in Iraq was that, you know, that the American presence in a way does, disfigure is too strong a word probably, but it does very much create its own dynamic within this political process. And I think it is a fair argument to make that you're not going to see any real attempt at reconciliation as long as the Americans are there, just because the Americans will always be seen as the final arbiter, as the person to go to mediate disputes, as the person who's going to make the final decisions. And that, I think that makes real reconciliation a tough prospect.
So perhaps this idea of sustainable security that this New York Times report says is in this classified document, that U.S. forces will be there till 2009 just to keep things stable so that the diplomatic process can go forward? Is that what I'm reading into that?
You know, I think that's the idea. That's clearly the idea. And in a way, it's been the idea since the very beginning of this entire thing. I mean, this question of security and this question of a political process, you know, how much of a political process can take place in the absence of security, which comes first. I mean, in a way, we're hearing the same debate we've heard since 2003, I think. And it's hard, to be honest, to see, you know, of course, you're going to hear different arguments from different military experts, from the military on the ground, from politicians, of is it becoming more secure? So it doesn't seem that way. And I, you know, from my time there, I always saw it in some ways as a downward trend. You know, I guess it depends on how you define security, but it never looked like it was getting better to me.
One of the things that was very interesting this week was this meeting between the U.S. ambassador to Iraq, Ryan Crocker, and his Iranian counterpart. I'm fascinated by it because they were obviously at odds about the Iranian citizens who have been detained, and Crocker saying, hey, Iran, stop giving weapons to these various militias. Did he expect the Iranian counterpart to say, yeah, you're right, we really should stop?
That's a good question. Yeah, and that's, you know, I think this is something that's often missing from the American debate about this. Is, you know, Iraq is Iran's neighbor, and Iran does have a legitimate national interest in what goes on in Iraq. There's no question about that. And I think in private, I'm sure American officials would concede that. I think the question becomes, what is Iran's intention in Iraq? And that's something that does, you know, that to me at least remains very unclear. What kind of Iraq do they want to see emerge, and how do they go about bringing that kind of Iraq forward? And I think that's the big question mark at this point. I think it still is. I think it baffles American officials a little bit too. Do the Iranians want a stable Shiite state on their border? Do they want to create instability that keeps the Americans in a quagmire? You know, what are their real intentions here? And I just, you know, it's tough to say. From my own experience, when I was down in southern Iraq in Basra, you know, it was probably a little darker scenario. I mean, you saw the Iranians arming and paying a lot of different people with conflicting agendas and conflicting interests, and it made for a pretty messy situation down there.
And before I let you go, I do want to talk about the violence in Iraq that we've seen this week. Every day there's some other story, The one thing that linked the violence this week was obviously the big events happened in mainly Shiite areas. Is this just business as usual, sad business as usual in Iraq, or should we read something else into that, as well as that soccer celebration?
You know what always strikes me, and I once tried to write this in a story somehow, about the violence, just what strikes me about the violence is how, and I mean this in the bleakest, you know, way possible, is just the way that it comes across as always trying to be a spectacle.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that goes back to this idea, I think both on the insurgents, I think in different groups of insurgents, the Americans included as well, I mean, the Americans as being a party to this conflict, that the success or failure of Iraq can be, I mean, that it's a matter of perceptions, and that you can manipulate those perceptions, and what those perceptions say in the end is going to be the verdict on how this entire thing went. To the insurgents is creating as much spectacular violence as possible, and this is what we saw at the soccer celebration and the bombings last night. You know, spectacles, it makes things look like anarchy and chaos and disaster. I think there's very much their motivation in a way in creating these huge acts of violence. I think the Americans since 2003 have as well seen, in a much different way, but trying to tailor the perception of their success or failure, that if we say something often enough, and then we can bring some reality to it. And in a way, I think the country, Iraq itself, has been a victim of this kind of game of perceptions that's been going on for 4 years now.
Anthony Shadid, foreign correspondent with The Washington Post. Anthony, thanks for helping us out today. We really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
You've been listening to The Bryant Park Project from NPR News.